Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study of Revelation chapter 22, we were talking about how glorious the glorified body must be for John to fall down to worship the messenger that was talking to him. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And next we see the pure worship, verses 8 and 9. Now worship belongs only to God. John begins to worship this angel, this messenger, which is in front of him. Why? Because to do this, he must think that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he hears this great voice from the thrones that says in verse 7, and he sees how glorious this messenger is. And so he starts to worship him. But this would be idolatrous. It's not Jesus Christ. And although he's so glorious, he's not to be worshipped, only Christ. That teaches us that Mary and angel worship is absolutely wrong. Prayers to them are absolutely wrong. It is sin. Sin's not allowed in heaven. That's why this angel immediately tells John, who is in spirit, but not glorified, he says, do it not. You see, there would be a danger of a double sin. John worshiping the angel would be a sin, and the angel receiving worship that is due unto God would be the other sin. You see, my friend, corrupted worship is gross error and sin. And I see so much of that going on today. In the absence of shame, it seems like today that all conduct is excusable. And it's even in the church. Now, friend, there are words, two words that really stand out to me, and those are the words loathe and disgust. Those two words should capture the sentiment that a Christian would have towards the church that constantly undermines the morals, the country, the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word through its Hollywood entertainment, through its rock concert entertainment. And it's a shame that people allow Hollywood to come into their homes and entertain them with that which is vile and vicious and vainglorious. But it's even a greater trial, and it's a greater sin when we bring that into the church. It's destroyed homes, and it's destroying churches. And my friend, it's best I can say it. It is a shame, and it is sin. We've got to quit looking for a church by which to be entertained, my friend. If a church is such that it's not necessary to carry a Bible to the services, then you're probably in the wrong church. If they flash scriptures up on a screen, but you're not seeing the entire chapter in context And on top of that, they may use another version than this good old King James, or a translation from the Textus Receptus and Masoretic Text, which you'd have to do in Spanish and other areas. If they don't have that, then you're probably in the wrong church. If they expound on life with a few scriptures thrown in to illustrate it, whether in or out of context, instead of expounding on the scriptures and using a life situation to illustrate it, then, my friend, you're probably in the wrong church. Seek the church that expounds the Word of God and makes it all about Jesus Christ and His holiness instead of these philosophical meanderings. I think one of the great problems today is pragmatism. Pragmatism entails the implementation of any practice or program into a ministry that appears to produce results, regardless of whether or not such practices or programs coincide with biblical principles of ministry. Pragmatism embraces the philosophy that the end justifies the means, which is Marxism, by the way. Therefore, those who espouse a pragmatic philosophy of ministry, they'll use methods and programs such as cooperative evangelism, worldly gimmicks, rock and roll, or contemporary Christian music, and the like in their churches and ministries because such practices and programs appear to draw larger crowds under the guise of we're bringing them in to win them to Jesus Christ. But my friend, what you win them with is what you win them to. Now, why would John think to worship this one that's in front of him? Remember, 1 John 3:2, we shall be like him, like Jesus Christ. How glorious is that new body that Christ is going to give us, that it would tempt someone as the Apostle John, who's been brought into the great visions that he's had to see and the person of Christ. How wonderful and glorious that new body he gives us is, that the Apostle would be tempted to bow down to worship it. Oh, my friend, this must be something. We're told this is an angel. But by the word angel, it means messenger. And that's what the word in Greek, angelos, means. It means messenger. But this messenger will give his identity in part in verse 9 by saying that he is a fellow servant of his brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Understand, angels weren't brethren of humanity. They are ministering spirits. They also did not do things contained in the law, as not going more than a Sabbath day's journey on the Sabbath, or only eating of certain kind of meats, and so forth. See, the context determines if the word angel, which is messenger, is speaking of heaven, a heavenly angel, a heavenly spirit, or a messenger of God who is a human messenger, someone who would preach the Word of God under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. And we see that with the word angel to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. When speaking of the angel there, speaking of the pastor of the churches. Now, the command is, worship God, not style, not what makes my flesh feel good. Rather, worship God in His way, the way which He would direct us scripturally, a way that is not after the world to please the flesh, but rather in a way that is holy and acceptable unto Him. Years ago, that old statesman, that old preacher of the word, A.W. Tozer, said this: for centuries, The church stood solidly against every form of worldly entertainment, recognizing it for what it was. For this, she was abused roundly by the sons of this world. But of late, she has become tired of the abuse and has given over the struggle. Now understand, Tozer's writing this somewhere in the 1960s. And he goes on to say, if she cannot conquer the great God entertainment, she may as well join forces with him and make whatever use she can of his powers. So today we have the astonishing spectacle of millions of dollars being poured into the unholy job of providing earthly entertainment for so-called sons of heaven. Religious persons now carry on services so carnal, so pagan, that they can hardly be distinguished from the old vaudeville shows of earlier day. And for a preacher or writer to challenge this heresy is to invite ridicule and abuse from every quarter. When the church joins up with the world, it is no longer the true church, but a pitiful hybrid thing. An object of contempt to the world, and an abomination to the Lord. We must have a new reformation. There must come a violent break with that irresponsible, amusement-mad, paganized pseudo-religion which passes today for the faith of Christ, and which is being spread all over the world by unspiritual men employing unscriptural methods to achieve their ends. Well, my friend, let me say this of Dr. Tozer's words. If men of God were saying this 50 years ago, what would preachers be saying today? What should we be saying? This was a man of God 50 years ago. How should we be attacking this that has so infiltrated and has corrupted the church as much as those images of Baal corrupted the temple just before it was sent into captivity, the nation of the Jews? Now, we look at the pure final words here in verses 10 through 21. Now, we need to understand that the Bible is a book that divides. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now in verse 10 he says, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Don't seal this up. He wants his people to know and be excited about what he's going to do for them.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.